Welcome to the Speckled Bees, a celebration of childhood. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Spencer.
For our weekly conversation, all things early child development and education related.
Each episode, we dive into a topic that we hope excites you as much as it excites us. And today, we're going to discuss steam. Woo! It's like kind of like a steam engine noise, like,
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. I have a train whistle. I could do a train whistle right into the mic.
That's a horn. So what is steam? Oh, Lucy, is it the thing that comes out my ears when I'm upset? Is that the air from a locomotive?
Yes, it's all of those things.
this is steam at all capitals. So it's not the same. You might be familiar with the sister acronym STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. But STEAM incorporates fine arts, changing the acronym to Science, Tech, Engineering, Arts, and Mathematics. And how does adding art to STEM learning and education actually bolster a child's learning? Well, by adding an artistic approach. So much. I mean, so I wasn't going to throw this in, but I'm going to. Little fun fact, the term reached its peak in popularity in 2008, I believe. When Obama got into office, he instituted a very strong policy to incorporate STEM into early education in elementary, which is very good, except that it really bothered a lot of people in the arts, because also during what we've all known has been a huge epidemic of people cutting arts programs at schools. So a professor at Rhode Island School of Art and Design, which if anybody knows is the number one rated art school in all of the United States, professor stood up for the arts and said, actually, let's call it STEAM instead of STEM, because we really should not be leaving the arts out. And the way that the arts helps is by adding an artistic approach to standard science and math-based subjects, you're integrating these subject matters with meaningful ideas and imagery that might resonate better, not just with the students, but with the teachers as well. And I'm going to get into later the actual facts behind the fact that incorporating arts into math and science teaching for the teachers helps the teachers teach better. Including the arts in the STEM disciplines is just a natural fit because of STEAM's emphasis on creativity and design. I mean, that's wherever we look in life, there's going to be some element of creativity and design into it. It just makes sense. A great example, I love this, and this was presented by Macy. Having children consider the adoption of a class pet. The children must consider what the best location is for the pet to live in and explore the locations and observe the conditions in the classroom. That's science and text-based approach. They're considering values and applying them practically. They might then consider how big the enclosure should be to properly house the pet. And they could create a care schedule for the class pet. This is math and engineering. They're considering the building and the time-based or size-based aspects. Finally, all of these ideas can be wrapped together by drawing up plans of how you want this final enclosure and home for the pet to appear, or a neatly designed care chart that uses clear symbols and images to address whose turn it is to take care of the pet. By integrating arts into this activity, you're helping the children personalize their work and you're engaging them on a higher level. STEAM learning is what we call inquiry instruction. Inquiry instruction encourages active and often hands-on experiences that support building understanding and vocabulary, critical thinking, problem-solving, communication, and reflection. You can facilitate inquiry experiences by creating opportunities for children to learn about the world through STEAM lenses and by asking high-quality, open-ended questions. Inquiry practices provide young children with opportunities to approach problems in new and authentic ways. So emphasis on quality and authenticity. We're not looking for quick think ideas. It's supposed to be practical applications that will actually assist them in their learning.
Yeah, I was, so if you were sick of us talking about Reggio, then sorry.
It applies in so many ways. Yeah,
well, I like that. Kind of is entirely like that's like the definition of a provocation, you know, like that's what you're doing with provocations. You're putting out different materials and kind of prompting them to solve a problem with it. Yeah. So that's kind of what I was thinking with this is.
This is making me think of one adage I really don't enjoy. I think, so for a reminder back to our introduction episode, I have started working at a bridal company. I often say, I have a dumb question, and I always get the answer back. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Perhaps that is true. But I do believe that perhaps there are questions that can be worded better or better thought through before asked. And that's more so what I mean by that. It's the same with this. You know, we're not bringing the children outside and going, why is the grass green? That's not very practical. Maybe why is the grass a little taller today? Or why are there more leaves on the ground? Because the seasons are changing. Like practical application questions. And this is inquiry learning, is you're learning through the act of asking.
I like that. Well, one thing that I loved as really whenever in any setting I've worked in is moving out of this idea of answering a child's question and instead asking a question back, very, you know, like Socrates-esque, right? He was the one who asked the questions. Yes. Or Jesus, I guess, you know, lots of philosophers ask questions back. But I love doing that with children, to kind of honor their question and be like, that is a great question. How can we find out the answer to that question? And so you're putting the power into their hands. And I think that's a lot of what the STEAM idea is like.
You know, I think we talked about this in one of our very first episodes, because I'm recalling this conversation, us discussing this point. And I had a similar response to children. And when they ask a question that is maybe, we all know, 4-year-olds especially do this. They ask questions where they very clearly know the answer. Like, why are you doing that? And or, like, why? And my response is, why do you think? Why do you think we're doing that? Have them answer their own questions. And it's inquisitive. It's asking yourselves and asking them to think a little deeper about why they're asking that question.
Well, and it's empowering. It's so empowering to be like, because I'm the adult, that doesn't mean I always have the answers. And lots of times we talked about this before. We shared some stories about children saying things and us kind of arguing with them. And then at the end, realizing that they knew what they were talking about the whole time.
We've had this discussion many times. Throwback to the Mathtastic episode, because that was a good example. The counting, the order of counting. Mm-hmm. And the kid was kept repeatedly choosing to count in the order they specified. And you were just like, you know what? You can do that.
Yeah. I think, was that in math? I'm thinking about like my nephew, where he had the trains and kept saying the numbers that were on the trains. Yeah. I don't remember what episode that was in, but yeah, like
I think it's been in 2, like a counting episode and something else.
Yeah. children often do know what they're talking about. And so it's so empowering for you to acknowledge that and be like, you can find that answer as well as I can.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best things that we can do as teachers, like even as when you're teaching adults, instead of making up an answer to a question that you're not quite sure about. Well, honestly, even if you do exactly know the answer, to open it up to the group and have it be a discussion is just so, it's such a better learning experience. You learn more when you discover the answer for yourself.
Right. Exactly. And one of the biggest things I've noticed too is in exactly regards to that point, I always word when I'm typing up these episodes, we're not teachers all the time. We're not parents. We're co-learners because we're learning with them. And as you just said, the answer that we might think is correct might be correct for them in a very different sense.
Yeah.
Like it's not black and white. Mm-hmm. The answer's not always the same. So Lucy, can you think of an instance in which you've integrated STEAM into your classroom or home activities?
I've been thinking about that. I think we talked a lot about this. When did that episode come out? Last week.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
When in Mathtastic, when we talked about the math episode, we talked about it a whole lot. we even
a few weeks ago
talked about this. Yeah. We even talked about that in the block episode quite a bit too. Mm-hmm. So I used a lot of examples for that, I think, but I was even thinking one of the activities that Leo is really into at the moment is, vinegar, baking soda and vinegar, and putting that out for him and him doing that a lot. And we've added a lot of colors to that. And so he's also kind of mixing colors
as he's
going along. Yeah. This is not a groundbreaking exercise that I've been doing with him. It's a classic. Everyone does this, but it is such a good one. It's so good. When I set it up for him the other day, I kind of was like, why do I not do this every single day?
It's much fun.
Yeah. And they're doing so much science, so much math. A lot of it is like technology too, using the different, like if you're using scoops or if you're using droppers, I give him a empty, like an old glue bottle filled with vinegar that he can squeeze generally, but you know, you're just kind of doing a lot of that, in that activity.
And engineering's putting it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it covers a lot of steam and it's all like, it's all open-ended. He can solve the problem in whatever way he wants to solve the problem. And it's so cool to watch. And he does different things with it each time. And yeah, we've just been having a lot of fun with that activity.
Gosh, I love it. And the arts part was that amazing application you said of the colors, which just makes so much sense. I mean, I don't know, you said 50% of the time that you're trying to incorporate arts into a difficult STEAM activity, it might mean color theory, like color theory coming in and playing your role. So,
well, and honestly, I would even say that like art is what brings any of this into the, like, cause it's all kind of an art, like the experience is an art in and of itself. Maybe I'm getting way too deep.
Agree at that point. That's the deeper levels of art.
Yeah. Well, I loved when art was added to it because I think it just really adding art into the equation takes science, technology, engineering, math, takes it off of the page, takes it off of this 2D worksheet experience and brings it into this real life where they're actually experiencing it. Just like it changes the feeling of it. So anytime you're doing an experiment that it's a real life experience, I think it almost is art.
Well, one thing I think I've mentioned this a few times. I really despise when people say they have no artistic ability. You have something. Everybody has something. It's really hard to physically exist without having some level of artistry, especially in the STEM fields. Because, and I'm going to switch to STEM, not STEAM. I'm going to say STEM. I'm talking more so about these, you know, amazing people that have gone into, medical, into pharmacy, into accounting. You are going to apply the arts in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in medical, you know, drawing up the forms that you need to and making sure that, you know, there's a great level of like self-care and like self aspect, whether it's working in finance and making sure that, you know, your presentations are neat or your things are organized. There is a level of artistry to each one of these that we need to bear in mind. So shout out to my sister-in-law. She's in STEM, biomedical engineering, and she's a very artistic person. And I wonder if she'd be, you know, quite as culpable in her field if she wasn't so artistically like focused. She's able to put a lot of her focuses into, the papers that she writes. And that's an art form of writing and education. And she's actually switching her mindset from working on hearts to going into education very soon. So definitely an artsy person. Yeah. So, but yeah, the situation I was going to bring up is one of my favorites, rainbow making. It's a activity that anybody can do at home, but it does involve a heavy level of a part of STEAM that I feel like we don't get into a lot with earlier, which is the engineering aspect. So to create a rainbow painting, a steam rainbow painting, you have to find a surface that will create a false rainbow, which is a, typically speaking, a CD-ROM or a prism can do this. Hmm. So in our case, a prism is expensive and hard to find. A CD-ROM, the back glossy pack, back of it, mm-hmm. silver, that is a prism in of itself. So you have to engineer with your children a container of water that is large enough, so mathematics, large enough to be filled with water and be able to place the CD in on its side, but not too big that the CD just falls flat. You have to be able to put it on its side. By doing this, you then shine a light onto the CD in the water, usually a little flashlight. So then we have some engineering, we have some technology in here. You're shining the light, you're angling it in a certain way that it bounces rainbows off of the CD, and the water is creating refractions, science, that spread the rainbow all around the source of where it's coming from. Placing a paper in that vicinity, you can then use watercolors typically, or even a pen and pencil, to copy the rainbow exactly as you see it.
Okay, you're getting a container.
Yep.
Is this container like clear?
Clear, so that, yep, has to be okay. Clear.
Oh, okay.
I should have specified that.
Okay, so a clear container. Okay, so then it will completely project that rainbow onto the table. And so then
I typically use Tupperware.
Okay. I just, Leo has been
specifying that.
Yeah. Well, I just think this would be a really good idea. I want to try this because Leo has been really into magical. Reflections and shadows lately.
Nice.
Very, very, very,
a huge light and shadow focus.
Yeah. Cause he's like, especially if something is like reflecting something and there's the light shining on the wall, what's that? And like, is not content until we figure out exactly the source of what's doing that.
You have to do it. It is such a good one of that
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's so many parts of it. It's how was the container the right size? How are you angling the CD? How are you shining the light? That was the hardest one. I had a class one time, we could not get the CD to angle correctly. So we had to hold the flashlight as we painted and angle it at the CD-ROM. And you knew if you were falling and not holding it right, because you'd lose your rainbow. So you had to angle the flashlight in the right way.
Does this work better in like a dark room or a light room?
Lights have to be off. You can do it with lights on, but it will not be as strong. Lights off is the most brilliant rainbow. Okay. I will link some pictures. I will make a post.
Yeah. Make a post about this because I want to do this. And I've never done this activity before. I don't even think I've seen it done. Obviously magical. Like rainbows and you do the rainbow walk. Also, really good activity. When is this episode coming out? Will come out on the 3rd of March, which is so everyone is always doing rainbow activities in March. That's so perfect.
Look at us. We're so cool.
Ooh.
That was
also, this will come out after Valentine's Day, but if you keep your Valentine's boxes, like chocolate boxes, I love those little flimsy plastic things that have the spot for each chocolate. I love keeping those for one. You can put paint in them. It like a little dollop of paint. They're a perfect little paint tray for children. But I'll also do that with vinegar, baking soda. You put different colors in each one because it's a smaller, container so you're not using quite as much baking soda and vinegar for each, and then you can
love them
more colors, but then they could do that. And then put the paper on top of it and get a bunch of different colors. Maybe, I don't know.
That's a good example of a STEAM activity in early education. I've done that with 2-year-olds. I've done it with ages 2 and up. How can we consider STEAM on an early childhood scale? Because like I mentioned before, this is very popular in an older educational setting. Well, science encourages investigation and answering questions, often involving experimentation. So situations that you mentioned, Lucy, exactly to that point. Technology refers to using simple tools like crayons and rulers, as well as more complex ones like microscopes and computers. I really appreciate you mentioning that when you guys are doing the little volcanoes, the vinaigrette activity, that you're using scoopers is an example of engineering, because exactly that point, it's the tool usage. Engineering refers to recognizing problems and testing solutions.
I just found where we are. Sorry.
Good, good, good. Arts encourages creativity and allows children to illustrate concepts that they are learning. And mathematics deals with numbers, but not only numbers, but patterns, shapes, organizational skills, and much, much more. So STEAM is applicable on all educational levels. Now, introducing STEAM early is vital. The European Journal of STEM Education wrote an article in 2018 touting the benefits of actively adding the A into STEM. They specifically focused on the need for more STEAM-based activities in early education due to preschoolers having the natural disposition towards science, curiosity, and creativity. Research has shown that providing meaningful hands-on STEAM experiences for early childhood and elementary age children positively impacts their perception and dispositions towards STEAM later in life. I think we talked about this in an episode with the mathematics one, how if you can change perception early, like that's a great way to get around the common problem we have nowadays, people like me hating these science-based, mathematical-based educational formats.
Right. Well, and like, if you think about it, like, I love how we're freer, I guess is freer word. No, that's not a word, I'm sure. to explore these ideas more in this real life context when we're doing it with preschoolers. I feel like lots of times when you get to the older grade age groups, it tends to be so much more like theoretical and on paper. And, but like, there's so much, we use science and technology and engineering and math and like we use all of that in our everyday life all of yep. the time. But yeah, so I love it being able to integrate that early. You're setting up this really good base. And so then you can work more into the theoretical and understand that a whole lot better.
No, I agree.
I don't feel like I concluded that thought, but I didn't know where I was going.
No, you're on the right. Your track is perfect. It's also the fact that STEAM, exactly to your point, STEAM concepts aren't that difficult for preschoolers. This is said by child psychologist Kropp in 2014, Dr. Kropp. They're persistent and determined when building designs. They naturally try to fix things when things don't work out the way they want to. We know how stubborn preschoolers are. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to find a solution. I actually just copied and pasted a paragraph way down, Lucy, up into this paragraph because I wanted to address it now since we've been mentioning it so much. Why is integrating basic science and math, why has it been so tricky into the educational field? Why has there been such an emphasis on STEM when we have been pushing for more inclusion of arts in the older realms? It's because of the lack of STEM in early education. Mm-hmm. High school and middle school instructors are often trained and instructed in their specific math or science-based disciplines. This is not the same case and rarely the case for elementary and early education, and especially for homeschool or home learning settings. In the same 2018 STEM research study I mentioned earlier, researchers found that, and I quote, when faced with this new emphasis on STEAM education in their primary grades, teachers are often intimidated, lack self-efficacy, and reveal negative dispositions as a result of their lack of training. Mm-hmm. When they feel inadequate with certain content areas, they tend to spend less time teaching that particular content with their students. Yep. It makes sense. No one wants to teach them they don't fully understand.
Right.
Research by Dr. Nugent and his team in 2010 revealed that teachers significantly increased their knowledge of engineering and developed more positive attitudes towards STEM, increasing their self-efficacy and confidence in teaching STEM lessons after receiving effective professional development. Self-efficacy is defined as one's impression of their own proficiency on a task. It resembles one's contemplation and discernment of their own abilities on a given performance. The lack of STEM or STEAM training for elementary and early childhood teachers brings new urgency for quality professional development. Whew, that was a mouthful.
Well, it was very cool. And lots about like what we talked about in the math episode, but I love that this condense a lot of that conversation down.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, it's true because it's It really brings back around to the point of why did Obama in 2008, when reintroducing a new structured plan for education, say that we need to focus more on STEM? It's to this point. Studies have shown that we do have a serious lack of STEM education in early education and elementary education. It's not as much lacking in older age groups as when you have
certain classes that are set apart to talk about science and math.
And I guess I could see it again, if they're only focusing on these specific age groups, I'm going to get to it later, but it makes sense that our kids should be into STEM more. And again, I'm cutting the A out right now, but they should be into STEM more because that's the future of jobs right now. Almost every job that's right in a major field currently is tech, engineering, math, science related. It's just very natural in our current human progression. We just need to remember to keep the A in there in order to not forget that, as we were just harking on, the arts is always going to be a part of our lives. We can't forget the role that it plays, and that we need to make sure our kids aren't forgetting that either. This was a great point made. Engineers often define their own work as design when they're under constraint. So engineers call their work design. Throwback to our last episode, in the Block Center, preschoolers work hard to build structures under many constraints or limitations. They often consider space, shapes, sizes, materials, the number of blocks available, and of course, gravity. Mm-hmm. Preschoolers are basically just budding engineers. Mm-hmm. Your children need time to explore, create, and innovate. They want to learn basic knowledge and gain understanding of how the world works. And so these STEAM, again, with the art included activities, provide preschoolers with a natural environment for collaboration and communication. They are capable of discussing different strategies and suggestions for simple engineering design.
You can cut this if it's totally. I'm just thinking a lot back, and we talked about this in math, but how much cooking is so, we talked about how it's so mathematical. It's super science. It's super, super science based.
I've always said that's why I'm bad at cooking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not patient and I don't do the measurements correctly.
Right.
Actually, I'm bad at baking. It's opposite to me. Cooking, you can be good at if you do it the right way. Baking is so technical.
It's very, very specific. But yeah, but like, that is such, like, we look at cooking and we totally acknowledge it as an art form. You know, mm-hmm. cooking is so art. In that art so world to art. Us, you know, like you have, I don't remember his name, the guy.
A who lot does of chefs the call themselves artists.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was thinking like that awesome guy, he just got the show on Netflix, but where he makes like the creations out of chocolate and like,
I know who you're I think talking it starts with about.
Like an A or something. He's so good. And he's so sweet. Like he's just a good human.
I'm harking here on like how baking is so science and tech based. How many bakers do we know that they're good at it because they're also really good at making it look amazing?
Yeah. Like it's the combination. I think really cooking is a perfect example of where it all collides. It's
amen.
Super science, super math, super, like even if a lot of it is engineering, how you're putting it together. Like if you're talking about like making a cake, and which is so popular right now, super trendy, and it's a construction. How do I make sure this cake doesn't fall down and collapse?
Right.
And it's all of those, like it's a super big STEAM activity to put all that together.
Did you know that Compass used to have cooking classes?
I heard that. That's so awesome.
So cool.
Again, that's my favorite. John on Thursday nights, he does his clinicals. So he's gone all night long. And so it's just Leo and I, and they're hard nights. And this particular Thursday night was very hard. something to like bring us up a little bit. So Leo and I actually, maybe I'll have to post this on the Specialties, but we decided to do a math dinner, kind of, not really. We just decided to do the trend of a tortilla trend, you know, like the,
I know this.
The trend. So you take a tortilla and you cut a slit halfway down, like the diameter.
Okay.
Or is that the radius? math. I think it's the radius. So it's just halfway down the center. And then you kind of divide it into quadrants and you put different fillings on each of the quarters. So, and then you fold it up, like you fold the pieces together. And so then you just have like this little section like this, and then you cook it like that, and then you flip it over. Cute. And so then you have all these ingredients. It's
super, you have to post this. I love it.
Yeah. It's super trendy, but like, I was like, this is so cool. Cause like I gave Leo scissors, and so he cut his piece down. Nice. So anytime we can incorporate scissor practice,
very that's nice. A
great thing to do.
We're going to talk about this in the arts, the building your studio episode.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I always like to use scissors anyways, but especially after working with Spencer, Leo has scissors and uses, actually, I think I specifically went and bought a bunch of scissors, like got on Amazon, the episode we recorded, I think it was like, yes. Strong Little Fingers or something.
Strong Little Fingers.
Where I realized, I was like, you know what? I actually don't think we have scissors that Leo is using.
It's so,
and I ordered them immediately, and we use them all the time.
They're so, not to make myself sound bad, but I've had a lot of formal training in early education. I will admit that I have been loosey-goosey with a lot of my artistic formats. I've been like, get the paint everywhere, like go crazy. And sometimes I'll have a teacher be like, you know what? I actually, in my class, I don't love that because that's a little too much for me. And can we tone it back? I'm like, of course, like whatever it is. A teacher, we might need strong feelings about teachers being defensive against scissors. I will always push strongly back on that point and emphasize the fact and matter that especially after the age of two, technically even at the age of two, but after three and up, it's a necessary part of their development. And then I get it to the kindergarten classroom and the teacher's telling me how annoyed she is that the kids don't know how to use scissors and how it's really staggering them and stunting them for future growth in other hand motion formats. And it's just like, yeah, it's a big thing.
Cause they haven't been using them. Like, well, and I think that's the thing too. If you give the first couple of times you give scissors to children, if they haven't had them before, it's super overwhelming. And it's a destructive thing. And children love that destruction. It's the first step before construction.
Of the make confetti.
But once they get used to it, it's like, you know, like you can control it, put the scissors up and bring them down, but just make sure you're bringing them down every day until they're used to it. And then but a good part of that is education of like the episode that I did with my friend about autism, like my mom listened to it and she was like, that was so helpful. Like, it, you know, she's been a teacher. My mom has been a teacher for like
years, right?
35 years. And like, but like, she has never really been given the tools. She has not actually been talked through of like, how do you actually teach children who are differently abled? Like, they're not taught this. And so, and then they're just supposed to do it. And that is super overwhelming.
It's
so
difficult.
Yeah. Anyways, tortilla. I gave his little thing to cut it. And then we like did like refried beans in one corner and like corn and rice and cheese. We folded it up and
you'll have to send me a picture of this because I can like picture the idea, but not the application. So I need a picture. Yeah.
It's so interesting. It. Like your social media is like trends of like people dancing and clothes. And mine is
tortilla
like
tortilla trend. I get some food posts, but usually they're not trendy foods. They're like revolutionary, like look at this amazing, cool new concept. And I'm like, oh.
But yeah, like, cause this is like it's a tortilla hack because then you get these different ingredients but it's like that's so cool. Nice and
the tortilla
and,
trend?
Like, it's easy to eat. It was fun. It was a super fun dinner to do. Well, cause we did the dessert one too. We also, I also really wanted to do it crepes? Because I thought we ran. Oh, yummy. Yeah. But yeah, we just have, I thought we were out of tortillas. And so I like bought a bunch of tortillas and we had not been at, like, we have so many, we have three bags.
Tortillas are so hard because either you have none or you have all. It's like, there's no in between.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, yes. And you go through phases where like, you're eating all these yes. meals, all these, all Evan the time and I go through big tortillas and then you like, and I would suggest that you always put something that will be gooey or like wetter, like something to glue it down. Like, cause we did like a quadrant that was just rice and corn and like, yeah. Like if you put cheese in with that, or if you put the refried beans in with that or something, like adds like double some of them up. So it has like a glue. But even so, even with that, it stayed pretty contained anyways. Like it was really,
that's cool.
A lot easier to
eat. No, we'll have to try it. So anyways, there's three ways that you can introduce STEAM into your classroom or home. The first is project work. Lucy, do you want to read project work?
That makes sense. Project work. Co-learners designate a project and use STEM methods to complete the project. Example, choosing to build a garden, research plant types when they can go outside. Yeah, when they can go outside. How do you best grow them? Build the garden, paint, and integrate signs. Super cool project.
Number two, problem solving. Find a common problem, organizing of toys, sharing a piece of playground equipment, etc., and use a STEAM method to find a solution. For example, are you having a hard time getting chores done around the house? Talk about how to motivate each other, create a chore chart, and decide on the schedule.
Number three, play. Students and learners use materials and playtime to explore the world around them using STEAM-based methods. For example, playing with water and testing out what floats in the water.
Easiest example, because it's just more specifically, it's like if you went outside and there's a puddle and then you're dropping twigs in, and you're trying to see what floats, the rock doesn't float. It's like one of those simple, it's supposed to be very simple STEAM-based activities. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to include just some ideas. We talked earlier about the idea of the the rainbow and how to paint the rainbow. Mm-hmm. We're going to link these activities. I've used all of these activities directly in my teachings as an art teacher and as a preschool teacher. Some STEAM-based activities that you can try in your classroom. Number one is chromatography butterflies. Chromatography is the separation of a mixture by passing it in solution or suspension. So in this situation, your children would make a butterfly by using a soaking base, such as a paper towel or coffee filter is the most popular option. And what you would do is you would place a bit of color dye into a glass of water, let the paper towel or coffee filter soak that color up, and it would make this beautiful ombre dye on the paper towel or coffee filter that looks like a butterfly wings. Hmm. And it's just like a great example of science, engineering, getting the object in there, math, the time that you wait, how much you fold it, little aspects like that. I've used this many times. Another example of the way that I've used this activity, and again, we're going to link a very good article on this activity, is I have had children put coffee filters, such a good material, on a window. They draw on the coffee filter with just basic markers, and then they spray the coffee filter with water, and the ink spreads everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a great example of chromatography. So
very cool.
Yeah, very fun. Very fun. We're going to link a few others in here. I just wanted to mention another, which is salt crystal art, because I believe you and I talked about this one, Lucy, how to make salt crystals by mixing Epsom salt, water, and liquid watercolors in a jar. You make sure the water is nice and hot, and you let it sit overnight, and crystals will formulate on whatever shape you place within that concoction or just on the jar itself. So great idea, great way to showcase crystallization, and a great way to create some fun rock crystals for yourself. And you can look into candy crystals online. That's another great project people like to experiment with. Speaking of cooking.
Well, actually, the one that when I saw salt crystal art, I totally thought you were talking about where you put the glue on the paper and then you put the salt down and then you put the eavesdroppers and put the dye on it and have it spread.
That was actually the original project I had linked to that. Oh. And I was like, maybe I want to, I had so many painting-based activities on this list. I was like, maybe I want to throw in something that's a little more sculpture-based, but that's an amazing one. Or another good example is, have you ever tried painting with watercolors and you throw salt down while you paint?
Oh yeah. That's a fun
easy,
one.
So easy. Yeah. Such a simple one. Ice painting is a good one too, because it's quite a simple thing of, I mean, water to ice is one of the most simplified art projects or science projects in the world. And so you have your child make their own homemade watercolors by freezing colored water.
We did the other day, we kind of did this, except I just went and got a tray of snow from outside. And then I put watercolors. And so he had to like use the snow and kind of melt the snow to put it in the watercolors, like, to get it wet.
Love
and
it.
Paint on the snow. It was kind of fun.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great one because that helps utilize ideas of like the weather outside.
It was also just really easy. And it really easy setup. I guess I had to go outside and shovel some snow into a tray, which was kind of obnoxious, but it kept him entertained for quite a while. So
worth it for our children. On the subject of like nature-based activities, coral reef building. So you have your children utilize things like Play-Doh or another good base. They stick pipe cleaners into the Play-Doh and then they loop on colored beads or colored pasta pieces and they create a coral reef. So it creates a great conversation about the world around us and has them working on their balancing and threading skills as they create this, you know, reef-based sculpture. Yeah, so we're going to link all of these for you guys. You can get an idea, some basic activities, or look up STEAM activities on your own base, on your own side of things, and see what you can find. We'd love to hear what activities you engage in. So, and I just mentioned a bunch of these activities, and we're going to list off a few things that you should stock up in your classroom or on or in your house. This is the best list that we will link and add to our social medias and to this episode to help you get started. Lucy, do you want to read off this list with me in tandem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Balloons.
Beads.
Binder clips.
Blocks.
Buttons.
Cardboard pieces.
Clay.
Cotton balls.
Cupcake liners.
Deck of cards.
Dixie cups.
Dominoes.
I don't know why this is just striking me as so funny. Index cards.
Cubes.
LED lights.
LED lights. Boys and the children. Legos.
Magnets.
Marbles.
Nuts and bolts.
Packing peanuts.
Paper.
Paper cups.
Pattern blocks.
Coins.
Pipe cleaners.
Plastic baggies.
Plastic cups.
Plastic utensils.
Play-Doh.
Pom-poms.
Q-tips.
Rubber bands.
Popsicle sticks.
String.
Tape.
Twisty ties.
Velcro.
Tinfoil.
Yarn.
Ribbon. Did anyone ever watch that video from the early 2000s? The cupcakes video? That's what we sounded like. Blood cupcake.
Oh, yeah.
Blood cupcake.
Blood.
Fire cupcake. Invisible cupcake.
Yes.
I think that's why it was we were reawakening a core memory.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. Maybe, yeah, that must be why it was so funny, because it was just, I don't know why it was so funny, but it was super funny to me. Okay.
We're going to include this list for you guys. This is like the best starter kit for the materials that you can have in your house. And a lot of these, as you may notice, are pretty basic. These are things that you will already have. And so the idea is that they are not always out, but they are available so your child can engage in various activities that are STEAM related. A lot of these, the intention is to help them use those materials to build upon themselves. So I would almost say the most important one in that list is the Play-Doh. The Play-Doh is a great base to build atop of. We're also going to include a list of more specified items to help you start STEAM activities. We're going to include, these are specifically STEAM-directed kits that you can find on Amazon and other sites. a lot of classrooms have these kits already in the room. Things like magnet blocks, flower connectors, and wooden jigsaw puzzles are a great way to start. Those are basic STEAM activities. They're very interactive. Anyone doesn't know what I mean by the flower connector specifically? I don't know how else to describe these, but I'm sure we've all seen them. They are these little multicolored pieces that have like 6 to 5 edges to them, and you clip them together to create, you know, like long objects or buildings and whatnot. And then I'm also going to include the Strawbees STEAM starter kit. This is a great group called Strawbees, and they specifically create STEAM kits for all age groups. So everything from robotics kits down to the STEAM starter kit, which is it's just like a bunch of amazing little pieces, not a whole lot of them, but instructions how to use these pieces to make everything from a cube to a catapult.
Very cool.
Yeah, like I want to get one for myself just to like mess around with it, make myself a little swing or a catapult. Very cool. And yeah, just a good option. So to close this all out, why do we talk about this? Like anything that we talk about, children are just little adults. They're going to be full grown one day, and we are building the blocks for them to have the tools to succeed in the future. Have you ever thought about what your child's life might be in 20 years? In some ways, it is hard to imagine what career options your child might have as an adult, but one thing is certain: skills in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, will be increasingly important. According to the U.S. Department of Education, it is expected that jobs will require STEAM skills, that require STEAM skills will increase about 15% in the next 10 years. That means that there are going to be jobs that we need to prepare our students and kids for that may not even exist yet. We no longer train our workforce to work in factories, but rather we are helping kids to develop forward-thinking skills for the future. The skills children learn when engaging with STEAM concepts in preschool are transferable and usable across many aspects of their lives. For example, process skills, which include making observations, hypothesizing, and critical thinking, are just basic skills for math and science, but are also valuable skills for learning any subject. So cheers to STEAM. That's the future.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I'd throw in my like one last story. This is my, Spencer's a bit of an airhead story. I'm very bad at science and math. This is just a fact. And when I was in high school, I was very good at art. I still really like art. And
really?
And they offered my junior year to join a summer program at our local gifted and talented school. If I wanted to join this program that was called Science, Art, and Math. And I was like, oh, cool. I was like, I'm getting ready to take my SATs for college. I can get these necessary math skills in and take these science classes and then do a really cool art program. Like that's going to be so much fun for me and such a good experience. I misread the paper. It wasn't science, art, and math. It was science, art, math. So it was a giant class all about integrating science and math into art. And I was so out of my league. It was like robotics and technical arts application.
Super cool.
And they were like, and now guys, like we're going to do a super cool math problem to figure out the art. And I was like, no. So I hated it. But I did it.
But it's cool.
Yep. I got nothing out of it. I can't tell you anything I learned from it. I was like science, art, and math. And it was like science or math. One thing. STEAM at its earliest.
Very cool though. Yeah. Also, on just a like lighter note, not even thinking about the future, I feel like these are the activities if you want your children to engage more in independent play. Yep. The activities that promote these are really ones that ask questions, that invite them to problem solve, are the ones that are really going to let them get invested in play. Play for a lot longer. The whole thing with getting the snow and having him paint in the snow, a lot of these cool activities I do is because I have to get some work done and I need him to leave me alone and without putting him in front of the TV for hours and hours. So we do STEM. Thank you for listening to The Speckled Bees, a celebration of child. We love having you with us for these discussions. We love for you to share what you're doing in your classroom and in your homes. And we'd also love for you to get on and rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That helps us grow, and that's so great.
Yep. Do you have an example of how adding arts to your STEM lifestyle and turning it into STEAM helped you? We'd love to hear it. I mean, this is just a conversation for all. And, you know, I kind of cut this part out, but one of the best parts about this conversation is it's STEM has been a male-dominated field. We're getting more women into it, so having little girls see this early on is a big thing. So if you are a woman in STEM, please hit us up, shout us out. We'd love to hear your input on the subject. All right, so from us bees to you, we're buzzing out.